just what I'm trying to hear. Nice, soft music just brings me right in to the temple, right here in God's church. You know, I'd like to, while you're standing, I don't know how many of you had an opportunity. Have you looked at the altar? Have you really noticed the pink and the yellow in the tulips and the pink in the paper around the white pots and the beautiful candles and all of the white linens that all talk of Easter still? That we are Easter people, that God just watches over us all the time. He calls us by name. He always loves us. He always cares for us. And I just want you to see the beauty of all of that. Sometimes we're just in such a hurry. And I honestly have to say, this music finally brings me to a place of quiet in the sanctuary. So I just would like to read you just this little bit of the 23rd Psalm again. It says, "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's my honor to be invited to do many memorial services. I'm invited to do memorial services for people who primarily don't have churches. And quite often they will say, well, he wasn't a religious person, or she wasn't a religious person. And then I have an opportunity to hear the stories about that person, and I realize what they meant was she wasn't a sit-down in church person, or he wasn't a sit-down in church person. But religious, oh my heavenly days, the amazing things they did for our community, the amazing things they did with their families, the people that they brought in and made their families bigger, all of the wonderful things. And as I listen to them tell the stories, I realize I have an opportunity at that time to bring church to them. I have an opportunity at that time to bring God and Jesus into their lives. Oh, they usually tell me right from the beginning, "Don't talk about God. We don't want you to preach a sermon." I love it when people say that to me. Because how creative can we be then? Do we have to preach a sermon? Or could we just take music like that? Or could we just come with a bouquet of flowers that are so beautifully colored that perhaps came out of your garden? Or is there an opportunity to just call them and say, "How are you doing today? Would you like me to come and visit? I would love to hear about your wife or your husband, and what could I do to make this a better day for you?" Church is actually all around us. All of the time. All of the time, goodness and mercy shall follow us every place we go. We just have to say, "Oh, could you help me with this, God? Because I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say today." One time I was invited to do a memorial service that God couldn't be included in for a person who was a big game hunter. And right off the bat, they said, "You probably do not want to come to his house, since his walls were lined with heads of all kinds of rare and beautiful animals." And you know, I had to really struggle with this myself, because that goes against anything that I think should happen. And yet somehow that sense of who is the person, had I allowed myself to get caught up in the exterior things and never take a time to really listen and look at who the person was inside. And as the person who was helping with this memorial service was telling me all of the things the person did and all of the kindnesses and the kind of books that he read and just everything about him, I realized God was surely present in this man. That his idea of things to do were different than mine. But his idea of who God is was very much the same. This last couple of weeks, I was invited to do a memorial service, and I had to read everything. The family sent me notes and stories that were incredibly beautiful, but only I could speak. Because there was great friction in this family, and the brothers were not speaking to each other, and the sister wanted to make sure that the one brother didn't get up and say one single thing. So, you know, that's the task then for me. I've never met this person. I've only met the people on this side of the pew, and I have stories, a half an hour worth of beautiful stories, and that's what the service was, me reading the stories. And what did we say at the end? The 23rd Psalm, and I asked them to wait till we got to the cemetery to say the Lord's Prayer. Well, I made friends with the brother who was supposed to be a problem, and he wasn't a problem, and he was fine with me. And he really, in fact, told me how beautiful the stories were that his brothers and sisters and he had read. And would I give him a copy of those? And I said I would be glad to, and then we went to where his mother was going to be buried. And there were four chairs set up at the head of the grave, four white folding chairs on a very steep hill with a casket there. And when the time came for us to say the Lord's Prayer, I said, now before we pray and have the committal service, I'd like to invite all of her children to come and sit in these four chairs. And they did, all four of the kids, who had not spoken to each other in years, came and sat together at the head of their mother's grave. And then when it came time to say the Lord's Prayer, I said, you know what? I'm kind of a hand-holding person. Would everybody be willing to hold hands? And I just walked down to where the brothers and sisters were, and I grabbed the hand of one, and they all held hands. And we all held hands in a circle around their mother. And we said the Lord's Prayer. Because you see, there are two things that you can be guaranteed to bring comfort to almost every single thing you do. Especially if it's a memorial service. You say the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then you say the Lord's Prayer. And you hold hands. Because that's what God would like us to do. He would like us to get over our strife and our anger with one another and hold hands and say the prayer that he taught us to pray. Now, Jesus, in these scriptures that we're reading today, the one thing that he was doing was he was at the portico. He was where the Jewish people were, and he was there for the dedication, the rededication of their temple, which had been torn down and torn down and torn down. And they asked him, tell us again, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the Messiah? And he said, look at me. Look at me. You're not my sheep. You don't know who I am, but my sheep who do know me will hear me call them by name. You know, I would never want to be in with a group of people who do not know Jesus or not be one of his sheep. I would always want to raise my hand and say, even if I'm not quite sure I understand, yes, I am one of your sheep. Please call me by name. Please call me by name. You know, we're assured of that. We're assured that God will always love us, always call us by name, always help us up the hill, always join our hands together. The reason that that doesn't happen is because we don't allow it to. Not because Jesus doesn't want it to. So when we come into the sanctuary, I have such a big thing about this
close your ears. He has to hear it so often. When we come into the sanctuary, this is the sanctuary. I tell the preschool kids, stop at the door. Stop at the door. They have the cross with them. They're going to put right up here this little tiny person with the cross. And they have to walk in one at a time. No noise, no talking. They have to come in and come up to the steps. And they have to bow and they say, good morning, God. And we talk about the flowers and we talk about the candles, because this is God's living room and this is a holy space. I know that every place we go, we could make it a holy space. We could take the time to welcome God into our own living rooms, our own kitchens, out in the woods, wherever. But for me, this is just such an incredibly special place. And I really feel like we ought to honor the space with quiet and love and an open heart so that we can hear God call us by name. Amen.
Amen.